struggles. But there's good news. We have someone who understands our struggles and our problems. His name is Jesus. And he's so wonderful to know, so wonderful to be his brother, his friend, to be his servant, to be his minister. And today, you know, he calls each one of us into this ministry thing. Yes, I'm called a minister or a pastor, but we're all ministers and pastors, aren't we? And today I wish to share with you seven qualities that I gleaned from a book called Wanted, A Good Pastor, by Jonas Aris. He was a leader in the Ministerial Association of the General Conference and wrote this book, and I read it. So, the first quality, he says, for a good pastor is an effective preacher. In 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We can find the first characteristic of a good pastor. And would you just say amen when you get there? 2 Timothy 4, 2. Okay, I heard one amen. I hear some pages turning. So we'll wait just a little bit longer. The first quality of a good pastor is an effective preacher. It says in 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So a good sermon preaches God's word. It's his voice. This isn't just a book. This is God wanting to break into your reality today and speak to you personally. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever heard the word of God is quick and
alive,
right? That's what it means. That quick means it's alive. It's living. It's the living word. And so God is speaking to you. Now, the reason Seth was so quick to respond to that, I'm going to tell on him a little bit, is last year I taught this very thing to my students, and he was one of my students at the school. Now, I wasn't the teacher. I was just the pastor and did Bible at the school last year. Anyway, so he remembered. Thank you for remembering that. But you know, a good sermon lifts up Jesus, right? John 12:32 says, some of you might know this, you can turn there if you'd like, John 12:32. It says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. One of the things in preaching, the sermon needs to lift up who?
Jesus,
because it's him, not the preacher, that draws people, right? And so we want to let you know that a good sermon will lift up Jesus Christ. And let me tell you about my friend Jesus. It's great to know him. He is so encouraging. Many times in my work as a pastor, I have come to a place where I wanted to quit. I wanted to say, you know what? I'm not able to do this work. It's too hard. I felt like giving up. I felt like I was inadequate. But Jesus was there, and he encouraged me to keep doing it. In John 15:16, he reminds me, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. And this isn't just for me today. Remember, this is God's word speaking to you. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Isn't that encouraging? You know what? It's not about the preacher up here so much as the true good pastor, Jesus, right? He's the good pastor. Shepherd, he's the good pastor. And he promises you, if you do work for him, he's going to what? Bless. You're going to have fruit. And that fruit isn't just going to come in the church and back out the other door or back out the back door or whatever. It's that person is going to remain in the church. Amen? He's going to remain in Christ. And that's what we want. We want to disciple people for the Lord's sake and for them to remain. The second quality from this book of a good pastor is spiritual leadership. In Joel, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Joel, chapter 2. My Bible actually just right open to that. That was pretty cool. But I'll give you a minute to turn there. Joel 2, 28 and 29. I feel like a Bible can be like a good friend, you know, it just kind of opens where you want it to. Now, every once in a while, I'll get a new Bible, and then it's like, oh, man, this is difficult because I don't know where any of the passages are. They're not underlined anymore. They're not highlighted. But this one definitely is. Joel 2, 28 and 29 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Amen? Amen. What did God promise? That he would pour out his spirit on us. Men, women, youth, young adults, all of us. Even on the children, right? In fact, let's read a little more. It says, "I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming great day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord," what? "Shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord," what? Are you called? He said so, didn't he? He said he called you. You are called for this time to do his work. And a spiritual leader is one who wants to be led by God's Spirit. What do you say? Amen. Not only to lead others, but also to allow God to lead him or her, right? In Ellen White's book, Ministry of Healing, page 479, it says, "Christ in his life on earth made no plans for himself." Did you know that? He accepted God's plan for him, and day by day, the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend upon God that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will as we commit our lives, as we commit our ways to him, he will direct our steps. Amen. That's really amazing, isn't it? Yes. I mean, I like to be a little more organized, but sometimes he says, throw out your plan and your schedule. I have a different plan for you today. And so we need to, that's hard to do. My schedule sometimes is like an idol. It's really bad. But but we've got to be tuning in to his Holy Spirit, because God wants to speak and use us today. The third quality of a good pastor is a prayerful person. Colossians 4:2. Turn with me again to the New Testament. Colossians 4:2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, there it is, chapter 4, verse 2, okay, Colossians 4:2, amen, are you there? Okay, some of you are saying, yeah, well, I'm almost there, okay, give you one more second. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving." So God wants us to continue earnestly in prayer. And when we pray, to be thankful, to thank him for the many blessings he's done for us. I cannot tell you, friends, the joy and privilege each of us has to talk with God daily as a friend. There was a few people here that snuck over to Chelan last week. I preached in Chelan, and they heard a little bit. I shared a little bit of my testimony, how God has answered some of my prayers. But you know what? I believe that God answers all our prayers. But unfortunately, sometimes he says, wait, right? So we might not always get our prayers answered the way we want them answered. Because if it's wait, then, well, it's answered in the sense that God is saying, no, not yet. I'm not going to give you that yet. But someday he might. Now, of course, there's the other answer that we really don't like, which is no. And, you know, God has told me no a few times in my prayers, like lots of times. But I found out that it was good for me. You know, it's weird when you look back and you think you know what's best and the Lord says no. And you find out later that God knew what was best all along. Amen. It's not easy at the time when you think you really need something. And remember, we need it, right? We need it. But it isn't always what we need. And sometimes it's good things that God says no to. So, you know, having faith in this walk isn't about getting everything we want, is it? It's about trusting God when he says yes, and trusting when he says no, and trusting him when he says wait, right? There's lots of stories in the Bible. You can probably think of a few where God told them they had to wait, right? So just remember that the next time you're waiting, that God is not saying no necessarily. He might just be wanting you to wait. I've come to believe in my weakness. One of them is waiting. I'm not very patient. that in my weakness that I am strong, or that the Lord is strong. Because when I feel I need help, which is quite often, that's when I ask him to provide, and he does. Psalms 18:1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, who is my strength? The Lord is. He's the one that keeps me going. He's the one that provides what I need. In Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, it says, communion with God through prayer and the study of his word must not be neglected, for here is the source of his strength. No work for the church should take precedence of this. It's important that we take time to pray. And by the way, do we have opportunities for you to join others in prayer here at the church? Yeah, I think there's a Tuesday and a Thursday morning prayer meet group. They come, and their main reason that they meet is for what? Praying. They come together to pray. We also have Wednesday night prayer meeting, and most Wednesday nights, I've already been coming the last couple of weeks. That's right. I'm hit there. So you're welcome to come and join us for prayer meeting on Wednesday night as well. So there are opportunities to come together to pray. But you know what? We don't need to even do that. We can pray from our closet, from our car while we're driving. We can pray in the bathroom. We can make our shower a prayer closet, or our office, wherever we might be, is a golden opportunity. Even tuning the pastor out and just saying a prayer while we're here in church, thanking God for his goodness. All right, tune me back in. Oh, just kidding. He comes first. Okay, the fourth quality of a good pastor is a relationship-oriented pastor. In Romans chapter 12, turn with me to Romans. Let's see what it says. I love this book of Romans. How about you? Any of you really come to love the book of Romans. There's so much good things in that book. Of course, that is with all books, but anyway, Romans 12, verse 18. It says in Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Are we doing that here in the church? Are we doing that in our board meetings or in our committee meetings? Are we living as far as possible with peace with everyone? Are we doing that at work and during rush hour traffic? You know, of course, we're not in the big city here, so we don't have that problem with driving, do we? Are we living at peace with everyone? You know, relationships are not easy. They take work, but they also provide a network of support. Maintaining a positive attitude toward others and forgiving when needed can lead to deeper friendships. You know, my wife and I, sometimes we don't always see things eye to eye, but it's an opportunity for us to deepen our relationship, our character, as we are learning to be patient with each other. So they're worthwhile, aren't they? In the church, it would make sense that once in a while people would disagree, right? It would make sense that we would have the opportunity to practice the character of Christ with being patient with each other, being kind to each other. Yes, applying the fruit of the Spirit to your interactions. Like it says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, depends on what version you're reading, kindness, goodness. Do we practice goodness to each other? Kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen? This fruit is the character of who? It's the character of Jesus. It's the character of God, the Father. And it's reproduced in us through His Spirit as we get to know Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Therefore, knowing Him, knowing He is loving and experiencing His love, produces in us love for Him and for everyone else. In John 15:17, He says, these things I command to you, that you do what? Love one another. You guys knew that, didn't you? So the fifth quality of a good pastor is one who supports a strong family. I'm just going to ask them to stand up for a minute one more time. This is my wife, Crystal, and my son, Andrew. Just twirl real quick so they can see you again. Okay, now stand on one leg. No, just kidding. You can sit down, but thank you. That one of the qualities of a good pastor is one who supports a strong family. Okay, do your muscles now. No, just kidding. Okay. 1 Timothy 3:5 reminds us that the pastor's first responsibility, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of what? The church. I am so thankful that my family is in the church and loves the Lord and is here with me today. Now, I do have a daughter and a son-in-law who live in Spokane Valley, and they're not with us. But and my mother lives in Spokane, and but it's good to have some of my family here with me today. And when it comes to family, what priority do they have? First. That's right. That's what it says. 1 Timothy 3:5, right? It's our first responsibility as a pastor. So I strive to balance my family as well as my ministry. How do I do that? Of course, I put Jesus first and then my family, right? And then the church work. So I take Sundays off as a part of balancing, spending some time with my family. And I take part of Monday off too to be with my family. So there are days, these days that I take off are for play and for prayer at home. Ministry at home requires encouragement, not force. Ephesians 6:4 says it this way, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition." What does admonition mean? Encouragement. It means encouraging them to follow the Lord. Gospel Workers, page 204, says, "Nothing can excuse the minister for neglecting the inner circle for the larger circle outside." What inner circle are they talking about? His family. And I say this like me, right? But today, I'm hoping that you hear God's voice speaking to you, too. Because you, too, are a minister of God. And you, too, have a family. And God expects you, too, not to force your family, but to encourage them to know and follow the Lord. It says the spiritual welfare of his family comes first. Gospel Workers, page 204. Okay, the sixth quality of a good pastor is an exceptional visitor. In Romans 1:11, Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart a spiritual gift, so that you may be established." There's a difference between a good preacher and a good pastor. A good pastor does more than preach a good sermon. He loves each member. I remember well as a young minister student at Union College. Anybody know the place? Right here. These guys went to school with, well, this one did, went to school with me there at Union College in Lincoln, Nebraska. Two experiences that encouraged me in the area of visiting. One was a class called Colloquium. We had a guest pastor sharing two responsibilities of the pastor. He said, preaching and visiting. He relayed the comment of a member who thought he wasn't a good pastor because he didn't care for his sermons and he didn't visit. So I determined there in that college classroom that when I got out into the ministry, that I might not be a very good preacher, but if I at least visited the members, then I could be a good pastor. At least I wouldn't be a bad one, right? So that's what happened, and I still am trying to hold that up and to get out to see you guys. And by the way, if you would like to get a visit from me, my number I think is now in the bulletin, and I'd love to schedule an appointment with you to come by to visit. Number two, encouragement. While I was at Union College, I was given some names of people to visit. And I remember what the lady I was visiting said. She lived across the street from the college, so not too far to visit her. I just had to walk to her house. And she said this, "People are like books. You can't judge a book by its cover. You need to listen to their story. Each person is valuable to God and has a unique story to tell." That was good advice, wasn't it? And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to listen to people's story, how God has worked and moved in their life, to get to know them. So that's my point of visiting, but it's just to encourage and to listen. The seventh quality of a good pastor is a passion for mission. It looks like we're about out of time. Good thing we're coming up to the conclusion. As a Seventh-day Adventist, it's my desire to share the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' message of Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Leading all to love and accept Jesus as their personal Savior and to unite with his church, nurturing them in preparation for his soon return. What do you say? Amen. It's my job to support mission work and to do mission work in the field that God has given me, this field right here. And he's called not only me, but all of us. Jesus' commission is go. In conclusion, I cannot be a good pastor alone. First, I must be connected to the good shepherd. And shepherd means? Shepherd means pastor. He's the good pastor. He's the good shepherd, right? It reminds me of the story of an orator and a pastor who was challenged to move the audience. And so they chose the same passage to try to move the audience. And the orator got up and he began to read Psalms 23. Eloquently and dramatically, he read Psalms 23. And at the end, there was clapping as the people were impressed with his rendition of Psalms 23. However, then the pastor read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After the minister ended, instead of claps, there was a silence, as the audience recognized not the eloquence and the drama of the verse, but of the personal relationship that the pastor had with the Good Shepherd. Amen. So how can you help me? Through your prayers. Through serving one more alongside of me. So let's take this journey together. Matthew 5:12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Shall we stand as we sing number 422, Marching to... It's been good to just be here and listen today, to have you speak to us through your word today. And I pray that each one will take heart the things that you have spoken to them, that as they go different ways, they will be an encouragement, a light, a little bit of light leading to the great light. In this world of darkness, Lord, may we help people to see Jesus. Thank you, God. This is our prayer. We ask for the Holy Spirit in this. In Jesus' name, amen.